Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. Well, Merry Christmas. That's terrible. Good morning, Merry Christmas, everyone. That's better. Good morning. Thanks for joining us if you're online. Who's having a good day so far? Yeah, who's excited about the rest of the day? Me too. No, you just leave them. Thank you. I love Christmas and I love a lot of things about Christmas, but the best thing about Christmas is that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is the best news that we can hear. And we've been talking about good news here at church for the last couple of weeks, as you can see behind me. And this morning, I'm going to be speaking about the good news that came to two ladies right before Jesus was born. And I've called my message this morning, "What Are You Carrying This Christmas?" Now, as I say that, we all know what Santa carries in his sack. What does Santa carry in his sack, everyone? Presents. I've got a few presents in my sack here, but I'm not actually interested in what Santa's carrying. I'm interested in what you're carrying. And so as I ask that question, some of you might have had a few thoughts. And some of you might be carrying this Christmas a few extra kilograms. Who's carrying a little bit of extra holiday Christmas weight around their middle? Yes. It's very hard to be self-controlled around food at Christmas time because you walk into a room and there's chocolate, and you walk into another room and there's shortbread, and then you walk into another room and there's chocolate-covered shortbread, and you just eat because it's there. And so some of us might be carrying a little bit of extra weight. Maybe some of us are carrying a couple of bags under our eyes. Who's feeling a little bit tired, a little bit weary from the busyness that is Christmas? It's a very busy time of year, and I know that some of us are feeling a little tired and weary. But then some of us might be carrying a few heavier things than that. Some of us might be carrying some pain. Some of us might be carrying some disappointment. Some of us might even be carrying some loneliness. And there's lots of other things that we can be carrying around this time of year with us. And even though these things are all or could be really real in our lives, this morning I want us to be reminded that we can be carrying around something greater than just these things. And so I want to have a look at our first good news story, and we're going to be reading this morning from Luke chapter 1, and we're going to pick up in verse 5, and so it'll be on your screens for you. You can read along. And it says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Verse 11, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God.'" Now, that is good news, isn't it? In fact, for Zechariah and for Elizabeth, it's not just great news, it's miraculous news, because we've got a godly couple here who aren't able to have a baby. And then an angel arrives and he says to Zechariah, "Hey, Zechariah, you know the prayers that you've been praying for years and years and years? Well, guess what? They have been heard by God and they've actually been answered because you are going to have a baby. But you're not just going to have any baby. No, you're not just going to have any kind of average Joe. You're going to have a John. Now, no offense if your name is Joe. I've already spoken to Joe Powell and told him this is not about him. But you're going to have a John. Whose name is John in this building? There's a few Johns. You guys are super spiritual people. Because this baby is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit before birth. And you know what that means? It means that your child's nappies are going to smell like incense. Because that's what happens when you've got a baby that's been filled with the Holy Spirit before it's even born. But he's also going to grow up and become a mighty man in the kingdom of God. He's going to help to turn people's hearts back to God. Wow, what a kid. What amazing good news. And yet, despite this amazing good news, Zechariah didn't actually believe that it was true. He's like, but how? How can that be? I'm old, she's old, I just don't see it happening. Have you ever heard of news that is too good to be true? Anyone ever heard news that's just too good to be true? Maybe you've heard some rumours that petrol is less than a dollar a litre out in some suburb of, like, I don't know, the western suburbs. Or maybe you've heard that chocolate doesn't have any calories. Or maybe, kids, there's a rumour going around that Christmas is back on next week. The whole shebang all over again. But generally, most of the time, if it's too good to be true, then it probably isn't true. Because petrol isn't less than a dollar a litre. And chocolate does have a lot of calories. And kids, 100% guarantee Christmas is not on again for a whole nother year. Amen. But not in this case. In the case of Zechariah and Elizabeth, this good news was legit. And yet, Zechariah was carrying around with him, let's find it. No. It's at the bottom. Sorry, I practiced this at home. It didn't turn out this way. Have I left one at home? Oh, here it is. Zechariah was carrying around with him doubt and disbelief. And yet, fast forward 6 months, and Elizabeth is pregnant with the very child that the angel promised that she would be. And this is what the angel, that same angel Gabriel, says to Mary in verse 36. He says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." And other Bible versions put it this way, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And as I've been meditating on this passage, and particularly on these words in verse 37, that nothing will be impossible with God, I realised that what Elizabeth was carrying around with her was God's faithfulness and hope. That's what she was carrying around with her. Let me ask, who got what they hoped for this morning as they were unwrapping presents under the tree? Anyone got what they hoped for? Quite a few hands went up. That's good news. There'll be some kids that maybe you were unwrapping presents under the tree and you hoped that there was batteries included. And the parents hoped that there wasn't batteries included. And maybe you'll be unwrapping a present later on today and you'll be hoping that they included the receipt with the gift. But how great is it when you open up a present and it's exactly what you hope for? It's pretty cool. It's pretty great. Well, for a long time, Elizabeth had hoped and Elizabeth had prayed for a child. And so when we read of the good news of John, it tells us of the faithfulness of our God and that we can put our hope in him. And maybe you might be someone that needs some hope right now. In fact, I think that in the world that we're living in, every single one of us needs hope. I love the line, and we sung it this morning in O Holy Night, a hymn written in 1843. The line that says, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." You know, that was written in 1843, and yet how true is that still today? We live in a weary world. We live in a broken world. We live in a hurting world, and yet Jesus is a thrill of hope for every single one of us. And Elizabeth's good news story is a beautiful reminder that for even us, nothing is impossible with God, that he is faithful. And perhaps there are some promises of God that you might be struggling to believe. Let's remember that Christmas time shows us of God's faithfulness to his children. He faithfully sent us, his son Jesus, into this world to give us life and love and joy and peace, to save us and to redeem us. Perhaps you might be a little bit like Zechariah and you're carrying around some doubt and disbelief. You doubt that God can really hear your prayers. You don't really believe that he can answer them. Well, can I remind you about what Gabriel said? For nothing will be impossible with God. Perhaps this morning it might be time to trade some doubt and disbelief and carry around some hope and the faithfulness of God instead. Then we come to Mary, our second good news story, and she gets her good news just 6 months after Elizabeth gets hers. And we read in Luke 1:31 that the angel comes to Mary and says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Now, hindsight is a beautiful thing because we all know that it was good news for Mary to give birth and to carry God's son, Jesus. But at the time for Mary, an angel telling her that she was going to get pregnant through the Holy Spirit and have this baby was probably not good news. It probably wasn't good news for Mary's parents, as they probably would have been concerned about what people in town might have been thinking about their daughter. It was probably not the best news that Joseph could have heard, Mary's fiancé. So let's not forget that when the angel comes to tell Mary this good news, it's still a stranger delivering this pretty outlandish message to her. And yet Mary's response to this unexpected good news is very different from Zechariah. Although she didn't know how it was going to happen, because, I mean, who would know? It was a mystery how it was going to happen. We see in verse 38 why God chose Mary to carry his son, because this is her response when Gabriel tells her what's going to happen. Verse 38, she says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." In other words, she's like, okay, sure, let's do it. Let's let it happen, God. I belong to you. She doesn't say, no, please, God, can you choose someone else? Or please, God, can we just do it another way? Like, instead of me being pregnant, can you just like shoot baby Jesus down like a shooting star and I'll just catch him instead? Or she doesn't say, well, God, can I just go and pray and fast about this for like a year? She doesn't say, God, can we just wait a few more months until Joseph and I are at least married and then it won't be such a scandal? No, Mary's response is one of pure and immediate faith. Have it your way, Lord. I submit to you and I trust you. I came across this really cool little line in my reading about this passage, and I'd never thought of Mary this way before, but it talks about in that moment when she responds to Gabriel, and it says this: Mary in this moment became the first Christian disciple because she was the first one to invite Jesus to enter her life by an act of radical faith. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Mary models to us what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple, someone who hears God's word and acts on it immediately, acts on it straight away. So this unexpected news, this life-changing news, this potentially damaging news, and yet Mary allowed it to become good news because she responded with faith and trust in God. That's what Mary carried around with her. Let's just do that. And you know, this response, it wasn't actually out of the ordinary for Mary. The news was out of the ordinary, and yet the response that Mary gave was actually very consistent with her character. Because we read in Luke 1:28 this: "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you.'" And I think that Gabriel was really purposeful when he greeted Mary like this, because he's reminding her, hey, Mary, God is pleased with you. You are highly favoured, girl. God loves you and he is with you. And so what we've got to understand is that Mary is already living a faith-filled life. That's why her response is full of faith. That's why she's able to say, yes, God, you know what? Let your word to me be fulfilled. Have it your way. She lived her life in a way that attracted the attention of God. And I don't know about you, but that's a challenge to me. And when we live a faith-filled life, then it's so much easier for our response to God to be a faithful one when life catches us off guard. And so what Mary carries with her is faith and trust in God. But she also becomes pregnant with Jesus. And so therefore she's literally carrying around God inside of her. Now, I've been pregnant before and I can guarantee you that my children were not filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. But being pregnant and carrying around a child inside you, and other women will be able to relate to this, it impacts you. It changes you. You act and do things a little differently because you're housing a human being. And so you might get morning sickness. You might get a sore back or sore everything. You might eat differently. You might avoid runny eggs and lettuce leaves and sushi. You might stop doing the crazy, you know, activities you might like to do, like motorbike riding, or maybe you drive a little bit differently. Maybe you have to stop doing the dishes because you can't reach the sink. It impacts you in all sorts of wonderful and annoying ways. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter if you are a woman. It doesn't matter if you're a mother. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a child. Every single one of us have the opportunity and the privilege to carry around Jesus inside of us. Every single one of us. get to carry around Jesus, the Spirit of God in our hearts, in our minds, in our everyday lives. And that changes us. It impacts us. It means that we live life a little bit differently. It means that it impacts others around us as well. And, you know, people notice when you're pregnant because it's obvious that you're carrying around something. Well, when we carry around Jesus in our lives, people should notice. And so both Mary and Elizabeth, they heard good news, and that good news birthed in them hope, faith, trust, God's faithfulness. And so my encouragement to us this Christmas is that all of us become so filled with the good news of Jesus, with the good news that Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem to give us freedom and to give us life, to give us salvation, to give us eternity. We become so filled with that, that we become full of faith, bursting with hope, and we carry those things with us everywhere we go. We're going to sing one last song before we finish up our service this morning. So I encourage you to stand. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to worship our God. Father, we thank you so much. I'll wait for you to stand. Sorry. Father God, we thank you so much for the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that we celebrate this day, Christmas, not because of presents, not because of great food, but because your Son was born as a gift given to every single person. And Father, I pray that for all of us, whether we're in the building or whether we're watching online, that that would be real, that that would be a fresh revelation. Maybe it's something that we've not heard before. Father, I pray that it impacts us and it changes our life from the inside out. And Father, I think about people that might be carrying around some pain and some loneliness, might be carrying around real disappointment, Father, that are carrying around things that are heavy. Father, I pray that they would know your rest, that they would know your peace this day, and that they would know, Father God, that regardless of their circumstance, that we can put our hope in you, that we can hope in the one that is always faithful. And so, Father, I pray that you would actually birth in every single one of us new hope this day, that you would be that thrill of hope for us, that you would birth in us, Father God, a desire to trust you like never before, that we would know and see and experience your faithfulness. And so, Father God, I pray that we become full of good news this day. And Father, I pray that we would carry you around Jesus inside of us, not just on Christmas, but every single day. And that, Father God, that as we carry your Son with us, that we experience everything that he has come to give us. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.